Ho, ho, ho.
I told you to stop calling me that.
So, okay, bet, bet. Hell, you're going to get me fired on my day off.
Merry Christmas to you. You know what? If you are listening to this show on actual Christmas, first of all, why? Second of all, thank you. I mean, we appreciate that. Every Christmas looks different. Shout out to our Jewish brothers and sisters. They're not more Christmas at all. Hanukkah already ended. They're doing their own thing. Maybe they got time to listen to the podcast. We appreciate you. All are welcome here on the L. Duncan Show with Gary Streisky.
That's right.
Here's the thing. We love that you're here, especially because like we didn't want to be here. So what we decided to do on this Christmas was just remind you of just the journey that the L. Duncan Show has been on over the last few months since we started this thing back in, what, August?
That's right.
And Gary, we believe in just coming in and just ramming it hard. Some people like to ease into things, right? Some people like to, you know, grease the pan before they bake it. We just like to force that thing in. And that's exactly what we did. When just a couple episodes in, we created a song that swept the nation. And by nation, I mean the offices at ESPN. And it was all about our guy who at the time was streaking towards an incredible season, Bijan Robinson of the Falcons, who just a couple of games in his career, Gary, got laced with this. Here's what I know.
Come on.
Being that I'm born and raised in Atlanta.
Yep. Broncos fan.
Yeah, but also from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
That every team in Atlanta that is good.
Yes.
Or hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
Is met with an enthusiasm.
Yep.
That elicits a dance. Dirty Bird.
The Dirty Bird. I remember that.
Or a song.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Atlanta, here's your song.
And now, hold on. Before you play this, okay. I think the listening audience and the viewing audience needs to know, this is like the worldwide premiere of this song. We both laid down our tracks.
Yeah.
Without hearing each other's or even the beat.
Like any good song.
And it was just pieced together. It was just sort of pieced together like Optimus Prime. It just came about.
Yeah. We're laughing in the face of all music producers.
Yes.
Editors,
yes.
Sound operators.
Yes.
We're like, no, we can make a smash hit.
Yes.
With a microphone and some can-do attitude.
Studio time.
That too. Are we ready?
Nope. Play it anyway.
Hey, check this out, shouter. All you teens got them Cheesecake Factory playbooks out there? Got more packages than Amazon? Dirty Birds can't relate. We only got one name to call. Let's go. Bijan left, Bijan right. Bijan up the middle, Bijan down the side. Bijan on the screen, Bijan in the flat. Hell, Bijan in the wildcat, can't forget that. Bijan left, Bijan right. Bijan up the middle, Bijan down the side. Bijan on the screen, Bijan in the flat. Hell, Bijan in the wildcat, can't forget that.
He's a thief on the field, that's why he's robbing, son. Scat back, Hellcat, he's a hell of a tailback. Mo, par, mo, yards, the pain is just begun. As soon as he touched the rock, the D is Warwick done. A true witch on the field, Brother Sanderson. A combo of Jamal and Pam Anderson. Wait a minute, hold up, those are different styles. What I'm really trying to say is that he's Boobie Miles.
Bijan left, Bijan right. Bijan up the middle, Bijan down the side. Bijan on the screen, Bijan in the flat. Hell, Bijan in the wildcat, can't forget that.
If you wanna get a win and you rap a Dirty Bird, let me tell you what the key, number seven, he absurd. If you having any doubt when you calling in that play, let me put you on some game. I'ma teach you what to say. It goes Bijan left, Bijan right. Bijan capping looks, cause Bijan looking flat. Bijan on the scene, man he mugging mean. Got them other cities asking for that Bijan lingo. Bijan, not to be confused with Dijon, but I swear he got that mustard. And you DBs need to catch up, catch up.
L, dozens of people have been begging, have been clamoring, have been asking, when's part two gonna drop?
I know. I did float doing some sort of like, I'm locked up. He won't let me out with all of the Falcons receivers. But you know, that's for another time. So
yo, Akon is the voice of a generation, man.
He really is. He is he's amazing. He goes to Africa. That dude does like 250,000 plus at his concerts. It's kind of insane. Speaking of concerts, Gary, we do story time on this show, and we've had some great stories where we talk about ourselves. We learn more about Iraqi dinar than we ever wanted to.
Yep.
We've talked about me getting into a fight for the first time. There's just a ton, but there is one story that stands out in particular that had me keeled over, crying and drooling, because you not only embarrassed yourself, something that happens frequently, but you embarrassed yourself in front of who, Gary?
The greatest living DJ that ever was, Tiesto.
Let's take a walk down memory lane of that that Gary confused the Godfather with your grandfather. Okay, let's do our story time. We're on our way out of the podcast and from Ojai, California, and Gary's living room. He is wearing his Tiesto hat. He was in Formula One. We told you that last week on the show. He went down to Austin. By the way, totally curbed all of my opportunity to come and have a drink or dinner with me. I texted him multiple times. He ignored the shit out of me and curved me. That's totally fine. You did have work to do. So what happens? Because you're too busy hanging out with Tiesto. So walk me through.
Well, okay. So here's Tiesto, close personal friend now. And turns out his wife is from Colorado. So we had that as like a mutual jumping off point when I met them backstage. Big Broncos fan. And I'm like, oh, you're here on a Sunday, huh? Because the Broncos aren't worth watching. He loved it. They were laughing. So it was me, Tiesto, Tiesto's wife, sister-in-law and father-in-law all back in the trailer before he took the stage at 4:30 at Circuit of the Americas to put a bow on this F1 weekend in Austin. And he was playing on behalf of ESPN. So, of course, the fantastic people in ESPN marketing asked me to introduce him. Like, hey, what's up? I'm Gary Streisky, SportsCenter. Thanks for being out here. Hey, this next guest, blah, blah. It's my honor. It's my privilege. And of course, everybody's familiar with Tiesto's music. He has quite literally been voted many times the greatest DJ of all time. His nickname, and this is important, his nickname is the Godfather of EDM. The Godfather of EDM. So I'm hanging out in his trailer backstage and we are just hitting it off to the point he's like, let's do shots. This is 30 minutes. And as you know, Elle, I get the Asian flush. One drink and I'm toast.
Gary can't drink, but you guys. He can't drink.
But what I'm going to say, no to Tiesto pouring me shots in 1942. And let me tell you, he's got a heavy hand. He pours a heavy pour. Elle, we went through, and I've never bought it, but he bought, it's a big bottle of 1942. And it was just the five of us. And he was pouring doubles. And we took the first shot and it was great. So smooth. I never had 1942. Mm-hmm. It was delicious. Would recommend. And he was like, cool, cool, cool. You ready for another one? And I was like, what am I going to say? No to Tiesto? Tiesto's trying to get banged up, you know, in the trailer. So I said, okay, yeah, sure. Let's do another one. But don't be surprised if I get up there and I say, hey, Tiesto's making me take shots here in the back. We're having a great time. And he's like, oh, no, it'll be great. Pours us another one. Thick pours. Two shots, but really as an accumulation, probably like four actual shots. So it's my time to get out there. 15,000 people are in this amphitheater. And that's not an exaggeration. You can take a look on my Instagram. And they see me coming out with these hats. They know they're about to get freebies. They start going crazy. So I have the mic and I'm drunk off power, but I'm also just actually drunk. And I'm like, Austin, I can't hear you, you know, doing the hype up thing. And they start going crazy. And I'm like, Tiesto had one request. The Godfather of EDM had one request. We're in Austin. Put those horns up. They go crazy. Boom. I'm like, this man needs no introduction. He's the greatest DJ of all time. And then, L, I have a brain fart. I completely blank. The 1942 is taking me back to 1942 when I wasn't alive. I'm like, the grandfather of EDM, Tiesto!
The grandfather of EDM!
Oh my
I called him the grandfather instead of the godfather. Stop it! No, Elle, you're not helping! Elle, no! You're not helping! Elle, you're not helping! You're not helping me!
I'm crying and drooling. You called him the grandfather.
You're not helping! I called him the grandfather of EDM! That's not funny!
Oh my god, you called him a grandfather!
Stop it!
Gary, this is so much worse than you ever alluded to. You went on a stage and called Tiesto the grandfather of EDM. And you're still showing your face today?
No, Elle! Okay, we can't air this podcast. Don't do it. Elle, so here's the thing. I didn't realize it at the time. The 1942 was coursing through the veins. And I'm like, Tiesto, they're ready for you. They go crazy again. And here he comes, passing me. And he goes, boom, we knuckle. And then I looked at his wife and his sister-in-law, her sister. And I was like, huh? And they're like, and I was like, no. And then once he started playing, I came to the realization. I think I just called him the grandfather of EDM. Mm-hmm. And I was out of there. But he posted me on his Instagram story today, so I think all is forgiven. But Tiesto, if you're listening, if you're watching, dude, I'm so sorry. I'm a massive fan of you, but I'm blaming you because it was the 1942. I know you are the godfather of EDM, but it was Don Julio speaking.
You literally called Tiesto, who is, how old is Tiesto? Okay.
53.
So old enough to actually be a grandfather, but in an industry where you don't want to lean into your age. Like, I imagine Tiesto does not lean into the fact that he's in his 50s. You want to appear young and youthful. And in front of everybody, you outed him as a grandpapa, as someone's poppy, as someone's gramps. You...
Yeah, I think I did
literally
that.
Gave him his new title and role. I actually think you're just a forward thinker. You know? You can only be the godfather for so long. We've seen the movies. Those people get killed. But you know who is always protected and always loved? The grandfather.
That's the way to... Thank you, Elle. You brought this one back.
Yo, when I tell you the amount of people that came up to me after this aired and were like, how embarrassing and endearing and incredibly Gary Streisky of him to do. The God, the grandfather.
And again, this all goes back to Tiesto forcing me to share a bottle of Don Julio 1942 with him just mere minutes before I was on company time and company dime introducing him to 6,000 rowdies at Circuit of the Americas after the F1 race.
Yeah.
Did he forgive me afterwards? Of course he did. It's Tiesto. He's great. Mm-hmm. Was I too embarrassed to go say hi to him in Las Vegas when I saw him again at the Las Vegas Grand Prix? Of course. So I'm just going to hold this anxiety in me until the next time I can see him face to face.
And you can't run from it. You just got to confront it head on. Like hand the dude some like Geritol or, you know, a cough drop and just be like, hey, grandpa, you know, like you just got to like lean all the way in.
Because confirmed he got the clip, confirmed he knows, and confirmed he laughed it off. That's my guy.
Okay, there you go. Tiesto for life. You know who else is your guy? Your guy is Tom Brady.
That's right.
The demise of Bill Belichick and the Patriots this year has been a source of conversation, not just across all national media, but in particular here at the Elle Duncan Show, where me and you debated a debate that has never, ever, ever happened before. Was it Bill or was it Brady? And I'm particularly proud of this segment, Gary, because I did my research and I brought in NASCAR. Enjoy.
Oh.
Is it Bill Belichick or Tom Brady?
There it is. Sometimes you just got to play the hits.
It's like no new music's coming, so let's just play the hits because the crowd will like it.
But wait, there's more, because after that conversation, MJ or LeBron, who's the GOAT?
Serena Williams beat Roger Federer? It's like, good God, we go to the back to the same bag. But this, of course, has been reinvigorated because on our very air on First Take, Shannon Sharp, who I love so much, Broncos fan for life, love Shannon Sharp, you're my guy, weighed in and decided to share that he has come to a mea culpa when it comes to how he always viewed Tom Brady. Listen.
But I think I owe Brady an apology because I don't think I gave him enough credit, or I should have given him even more credit, because what Brady allowed Coach Belichick to do, Brady is the largest eraser in pro sports.
What took him so long?
So you're on team, and I know you man crush fangirl drool over Tom Brady. You're on team Tom Brady was the key ingredient to the success, not Bill Belichick.
It was never more evident than in 2020. And I know a lot of people, listen, over 20 years of a body of work between the two, there are arguments for both sides. 2008, Brady goes down. Matt Castle leads the Patriots to 11-5. Yes, they missed the playoffs that year, but oh yeah, see, Bill Belichick can get it done with any quarterback. Tom Brady goes down game one of the season against the Chiefs, and it's Matt Castle who steps in to lead a Patriots team to 11-5. Nothing more indicative, though, after we get the entire body of work, that Tom Brady goes to Tampa Bay, a team that he signed with, of course, after leaving New England, a team that finished 7-9 the year prior with the same everybody. Everybody
except
was the
same. Except the quarterback.
Yes, except the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And wins a Super Bowl. Since then, New England has not won a playoff game. What what more evidence do we need? I don't think we need to make it rocket science.
I don't think we need to present this as an argument at all. I think this is the stupidest argument of all time.
Because you're rocking with Brady.
No. No, what? It's not. No. I think it's stupid because these things are not comparable. Like, I think it's stupid to compare MJ to LeBron because they never had a chance to play against each other in that way. And eras are different, and we all understand that. But at least they both were players. How do you compare a coach and a... That's like saying, which one was it? Was it Richard Petty or was it Carr? It was his Carr. It was both. It was the talented Richard Petty that allowed himself to take advantage of an incredible Carr. But at the end of the day, he still had the best Carr at the track every single time. These are not comparable things. Tom Brady needed Bill Belichick in the same way that Bill Belichick needed someone that adopted to winning the same way that he did. They both just had this innate desire to win and do whatever it takes to win. And I think that the combination of those two things together is why we saw such an incredibly successful run. I have no idea if Tom Brady would have won another 5 more championships in Tampa Bay if he had had more time on his side. I don't need to know because he spent 20 fruitful years in New England, and it was the best duo that we ever saw all time, the most successful coaching quarterback duo ever. And if you are to believe that that's because they worked in tandem, like Tom Brady has said, I think that makes more sense than trying to say, was it Bill or was it Tom? You can't ever have an answer definitively in those things because they inform the other.
Sure.
Brady went to a Bucs team that was loaded. They were loaded.
Loaded after he got there.
The only thing they needed was a quarterback. He had Bruce Arians, who is like an offensive mastermind. We like to throw him. The situation worked out really, really well. And it was fun and knee-jerk in the moment to go, see, it's Tommy. But these are just not things that you can compare. I think the argument in and of itself is stupid. There's no validity. You can't compare who's more important, the coach or the player. I mean, on its face value, of course the player is the most important part. They have to go out there and actually do it. But to say like Tom somehow won because Bill is wallowing, this is what happens after you lose a generational talent. Good God, Lord knows we know. We lost John Elway. It was a long time before we hand-plucked another one in Peyton Manning to come, and it's been a long time since. This is what happens. They are rebuilding. We wanted to believe because Bill Belichick's a genius, because of a 5-game sample size with Matt Castle, because of a handful of games with Jimmy Garoppolo, that somehow Bill Belichick was going to be able to make sugar out. This roster, and to Shannon Sharp's point, yes, Tom Brady was the great deodorant over what were at times stinky receiving cores, stinky running back cores, stinky defenses. Mostly their defenses were good. But this is just an invalid argument, and I'm tired of having it. And I'm not defending Bill Belichick here, but that's not how this works, you guys. There's a vehicle and then there's like a conduit. Like there's a conduit to being successful, and they both were the conduit to each other.
I don't know what to do with my hands here, because first of all, Elle, you said you're tired of having you're tired of having the conversation. You brought it up. I was perfectly okay with talking about baseball or talking about other stuff, but you're the one who brought it up. Secondly,
you could see poor Gary's face. Like his eyebrows are just like this the whole time. Like,
secondly, somebody in the comments was like, look at this dude's eyebrows. I was like, what's wrong with my eyebrows? Sorry, I'm expressive.
Secondly, that's a no Botox face,
secondly,
baby.
I know. Look at you. Secondly, you can still move. Great NASCAR pull there. Okay, just to the going
but,
rich
but
or
I
petty.
Think, but I think I that's important totally though, Gary. I think those are that's the comparison. It's not like comparing Richard Petty versus
no,
Dale Earnhardt Jr.
In modern
day
is Max Verstappen and Red Bull by far and away the best car. So I totally
exactly.
get
exactly. It's
however,
the combination of both. You do F1.
But I'm listening in between the lines here. And I know, of course, you can't say who is better. They play completely different roles. Who needed more who was the question I'm getting to. And Belichick needed Brady more. Belichick's the GM. He constructs the team. If it's a bad team, it's on Belichick. Brady helped correct that. And you were saying, the Broncos example, nobody came in there to win meaningful games until Peyton Manning, hand-plucked by John Elway, to come in here, save the franchise. It wasn't a coach who was hand-plucked. It wasn't a position player. It was Peyton Manning, take you from this situation, plop you in here. The player's more important. I think the Brady Belichick, okay, that could be a tired argument, but across the board, the player is more important than the coaching in these scenarios, quarterback scenarios.
Yes.
Because you can get a fantastic player to go to a situation. Randy Moss, before he went to the Patriots with the Raiders. But in this specific argument that you don't want to have, even though you brought it up, Brady.
I would agree with you that yes, like relatively speaking, the player, of course, is the most important component. But what I mean specifically in these two, with this duo, mm-hmm. with this specific debate, a partnership that was the most fruitful partnership of all time.
It's
one
awesome.
That like probably will never be marveled ever again.
Ever.
Maybe Patrick Mahomes with Andy Reid, right?
Yeah, they doing commercials.
And then
together.
Are we going to be asking the same exact question? And I think it's because of this sort of, the last few years with Tom Brady in New England, it was very apparent that it was starting to become a rift in the middle. Mm-hmm. Like, is this Bill's team or is this Tom Brady's team? And I don't know where that came from. I mean, Seth Wickersham has an amazing book that really talks about sort of the fall of the dynasty and the dynamic of the relationships. But I just think that, like, this is not, if you're asking what led to six championships and the most dominant run, 20-year run we've ever seen in all of sports, both of them. That's what led to it. Both of them in conjunction with you. Either one of them, I think, could have won on their own. I don't think either one of them wins six without each other. They both fed each other.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Now, we're still having this debate because at this time, when we talked about this segment, it was earlier in the season. The Patriots weren't as calamitous even as they are now. There weren't the reports that Bill is leaving. And you still stand by the fact that it's Brady all the way. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, 100. Put it on the head. I want to get cremated, but put it on the headstone.
Okay.
I don't believe headstone.
Me too. I'm a big cremation person.
I think so. Because, like, you know, sprinkle a little bit of me over there. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you're basically salt baying your ashes is what you're saying.
Yeah, like, I don't want an eternal resting place. I kind of want, like, multiple. Yeah. I want to be opposed to, like, sprinkling me a little bit in the ESPN parking lot, you know, when my time is there and gone. You know what I'm saying? Let me haunt the grounds for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, speaking of cremations and eternal resting places, there was a portion of the college football season where it was being treated as though Jim Harbaugh's suspension was actually, a death of some kind. Like,
yes,
we were memorializing him. Because, of course, the biggest storyline all season long in college football, before, of course, the FSU snub heard around the world, was this Michigan team accused and then, we can't say convicted, they weren't in court, but like accused and confirmed having cheated. They cheated, they stole signs, they used this guy named Connor Stallions. It was a whole mess. They were suspending Jim Harbaugh for it. And his team decided to use this as a galvanizing rally cry. Like, you're going to suspend our guy the last four games of the season? Well, it's us against the world. And I had just had it. And this was our conversation about it. I need the court of public opinion here. I need our listeners and watchers. I need the audience members involved. Because I feel like in the sports world, there are a few terms that we overuse like hell. Game of the century, game of the year, GOAT, top five, right? Like, we're always trying, like, all that. Here's another one. You ready? Mm-hmm. America's team.
Oof, yeah. Okay.
America's team has specifically been defined by the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. I believe. I'm sure someone out there can give me some deep retrospect on the actual origins of America's team. But as far as I've been alive, 40 years, America's team is almost directly reflective of the Dallas Cowboys. That's their moniker. That's their thing. But since then, people have co-opted it for many things, right? If you like a player or they have a great storyline, suddenly they become America's team. I said it on this podcast a few weeks ago. Is Detroit America's team? I mean, the answer is no. But Jim Harbaugh has decided that Michigan's going to enter the chat because, of course, he gets suspended. We talked about this. His team still boat races Penn State. And he decided afterwards to self-proclaim, self-dub his team as America's team.
It's got to be America's team. It's got to be America's team. America loves a team that beats the odds, beats the adversity. You know, overcomes what the naysayers and, you know, critics, so-called experts think.
We're America's team. That's what he says, which is a little bit antithetical to what they've been preaching, which is that it's Michigan versus everybody, right? We talked about this. Chip on the shoulder. We've been slighted. This is galvanizing. No one wants us to win. We're a bunch of cheaters. And so we're going to use that. It's going to fuel us for the rest of this run. Michigan versus everybody. You can understand that the polarity of those two things don't make sense.
Yes.
And someone called out interim coach Sherrone Moore, who's filling in for Jim Harbaugh, mm-hmm. on that very subject by saying, how on God's earth can you be America's team and also Michigan versus everybody? And this is what he said.
Everybody that's against us is on the other side. So if America's with us, then let's go. You guys are with us. And if not, then Tough.
Yeah, that was a total word salad of if you we are America's team, and if you're with us, if you're not, you're against us, and you can't have it both ways. Which one are you? Are you the chippy, no one wants us here? Are you the Raiders? Are you embracing being the villains? Or are you America's team? Because you can't be both.
Or, El, can you? When General Washington crossed the icy Delaware.
Oh, God.
Okay? To battle for the independence of this great nation. It was America versus everybody. And everybody at the time was the Redcoats. And they were on the other side. So am I bailing out Coach Moore and Coach Washington because I can draw a historical conclusion and a historical fact that America's team is the team that helped gain America's independence? And that's not what Michigan is alluding to. Michigan is alluding to the enemy being on the other side. Nah, you know what? He's tripping. I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
I was going to say, because it wasn't America versus everybody. I mean, literally the French came and bailed us out. They helped us tremendously.
Whoa. We're not going to give the Fighting Rudy Goberts any more credit on this show than they deserve. All right. We are not going to give the guy who got choked out all 7 foot, however many inches of him, the Stifle Tower, and then him just wilting under the pressure.
But listen, this whole thing got me thinking about, you stand in front of these people at a press conference, and sometimes word salads come out, right? Like Dan Campbell's biting kneecaps. Sirianni a couple of years ago was talking about how his team was like a flower or something, and they needed fertilizer, which I don't know if anybody told him is dog. And I started thinking about not just the best press conferences or like the best speeches of all time, but just like the most relatable ones, right? Because there's those galvanizing ones. There's like the ones where, you know, you play to win the game, like our guy Herm Edwards, you know, and there's all of these like really notorious ones, right?
Yeah.
But I thought about the ones that sort of related to me.
Ones
like Joakim Noah talking about Cleveland.
Do you regret anything that you said about Cleveland?
Not at all. You like it? You think Cleveland's cool? I mean, I never heard anybody say, I'm going to Cleveland on vacation.
I'm just saying, I love when someone gets up there and they're like, just tell me that I'm wrong. That didn't have anything to do with the basketball. He didn't talk about X's and O's, preparation, their game plan. He just decided, I'm just going to tell you how I feel about Cleveland. And he incited the ire of a million Clevelanders.
So anybody ever want to go to vacation in Cleveland? First of all, Cleveland is a wonderful American city. And yes, they've been hit with some hard economic times, part of the Rust Belt and whatnot. But Cleveland was once a thriving metro area. Okay. I like Cleveland. I love Cleveland.
Cleveland rocks, some have said.
Sure does. It sure. I love that speech. My favorite speech of all time, and it comes around, one of my favorite sports speeches of all time, and it comes around every March Madness, is the BC kid talk about what he's going to miss most after his BC Eagles got eliminated. And he sat there in tears. He was gaining his composure, recollecting himself after a heartbreaking loss. Leans into the mic and says what he'll miss most is this.
Going out to eat.
It's so funny. It's like so relatable, just like going out to eat, hitting the 99s.
It's so funny, like the cheat codes that parents give each other. When I first had my first kid, I had a colleague at ESPN that was like, by the way, at the 99 on Wednesdays,
kids eat free
when the Red Sox wins.
Yes. L, those Gold Fever wings, you get those for free. Double cheat code. And then also they give you the popcorn and then the crackers, and then you get the pub cheese, and then you just go for the triple threat. Which is you scoop the cracker into the cheese and then dip it into the popcorn. Anybody, this is a regional specific hack. But if you go to the 99s, make sure you get the popcorn, crackers, and pub cheese. Dip it into the popcorn. You'll thank me later.
I'm not doing that. You know why I'm not doing that? Because I'm a man. I'm 40. Also a fantastic press conference.
Oh my gosh!
Mike Gundy for the win.
And also, you are 40. You slid that by.
Yeah, you see how I did that?
You turn making 40 into the new 20. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Listen, if you want to look like me, all it takes is like great lighting and an hour of hair and makeup. Mike Gundy, notorious, if you don't know, he was defending one of his players. You know, they were losing and someone wrote about one of his players not playing well and he attacked that person.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid. Write something about me.
You know, pick on me. I'm a grown man. I'm 40. I can take it.
Student reporter at the time.
Dude, Mike Gundy might have the greatest job of all time. Yeah. That dude has so much job security for the rest of his life, having played there, having been an OK State guy. He doesn't have to win. He just has to be crazy average, and he 100% has his job forever. Legit. I mean, the expectation there is like 6-7 wins a year, maybe 5-6 wins a year. He can do that. He's been there for a million years. Like, well, if he did that press conference now, he'd be like, I'm a man. I'm 60. I mean, it's been that long.
56.
Yeah.
I think he's 56. You know how I can tell this man also, too, and coaching is such a high-stress job, but I can tell this man has never stressed a day in his life, and you can tell this on men specifically. His hairline is still incredible. I don't think you can get mullet restoration anywhere. Okay. I don't think that people just do that. That's all natural.
And El, I'm glad that you sort of clarified those points there as it related to which suspension last season they were actually caping for Harbaugh. Not the one at the first part of the season where, you know, he effectively admitted his guilt as part of recruitment violations. No. This was the other suspension that bookended the season where, you know, by all reasonable doubts, they cheated. They were stealing
signs. There's more like sanctions and things that are being revealed by the day. The truth is that's why they had to tuck their tail between their legs, pull all the lawsuits and move on. And move on they will, right? Like, we won't know by the time we listen to this the result of what will happen in the CFP playoff. They're in. They're the number one seed. And they seem to have come out relatively unscathed from a big cheating scandal. The biggest scandal, of course, and the CFP committee maybe never will come out unscathed after what they decided to do in leaving out FSU. FSU, a perfect season. It's never happened before that a Power Five school would get left out. And nonetheless, they are still crying about it even weeks later. It was the biggest story to end the year, and it was a huge talker on the L. Duncan Show. This was 100% the right decision. And a couple of weeks ago, I was aggrieved and b-ing. I thought it was unfair that a team could go 29 wins and potentially lose to their biggest rival in the SEC championship and be punished for it and not have a chance to go for 3 straight titles. I thought that was unfair. But what I thought was more unfair was the idea that FSU, who is a very different team without Jordan Travis, as evident by the last 2 weeks, was not a team that should be in the Final Four. And this brings up the same thing that we talk about every single year. And maybe it hasn't been exactly to this manner because this, of course, is a first. But it always brings up the question and the difference between deservedness and best.
Yes.
And when you watched those championship games, and I watched every single one of them from Friday to Saturday, and I know you did too, Gary, and anybody that is into college football probably did. You cannot make an argument. I want you to put the 13-0 aside. I want you to put the idea that this has never happened to a Power Five team before. Put all of those things aside. I want you to tell me, all these people at FSU that are so angry, of all of those games that you watched, tell me which of the teams that won is Florida State better than right now. Tell me which one. Which one right now is Florida State better than? You watched the Pac-12 championship. Do you think they're better than Washington?
Not better than Oregon.
Okay. Either. You watched the Big 12 championship. Do you think they're better than Texas right now?
Texas would beat them by 20.
You watched the
points.
Big 10 championship. Do you think that they're better than Michigan right now?
Yeah, no.
And you watched the SEC championship right now. Do you think they're better than Alabama right now?
Michigan don't even want Alabama right now, and they're the number one team in the CFP.
Okay. So let's just take the argument of FSU versus Alabama, okay? FSU's best wins this season, number 13 LSU and number 15 Louisville, who they just beat in the ACC championship with their third string quarterback. Because, oh yeah, the guy that spelled Jordan Travis, Tate Rodemaker, got hurt in their game against Florida last week. They put up 24 points against Florida, who is not a bowl team, okay? And he had 124 yards. It was his first start. He did exactly what was asked of him, but okay, he's concussed. He sits out the ACC championship. It was putrid. They beat number 15 Louisville in the ACC championship by scoring one touchdown. Those are their two best wins, all right? Alabama beat number one Georgia, number 11 Ole Miss, number 13 LSU, and number 21 Tennessee. So Alabama's third best win is Florida State's first best win. Now, of course, Alabama has that loss. They have the loss to Texas, which happened in the second week of the season. Yes, at home, double digit. I get that. That's before Nick Saban would even name a starting quarterback. So I understand that you can't just act like conference championships aren't important, which is essentially what they just showed by eliminating FSU from the CFP. But it also is important to look at some predictive measure of what's going to be the most competitive matchup. Because guys, that is why we took it out of the hands of the robots. If it was only about strength of schedule, strength of record, by the way, Alabama, strength of record, number four. Florida State, number three. They're right behind them. And strength of schedule, Florida State number 55, Alabama number five. If it was only about those metrics and those numbers, then the computer would still be calling this shit. Mm-hmm. We begged it to become about judgment too. And when you do that, when you put it in the hands of humans and you ask for their judgment and you ask for them to look at what their eyes are telling them, then sometimes the unfair thing happens. And I'm shocked that it happened because this committee, in Paul Feinbaum's words, always want to be the UN. They want to be liked. They want to do the fair thing, not the right thing. This is the right thing because as angry as those FSU people are, what that committee did was see TCU last year and go, we put them in because it was the right thing to do. And while they did beat Michigan, 65-7 was your, that's the right thing to do national championship. And without a quarterback, we have had two games to see what LSU, what FSU looks like. And no, thank you. I'm sorry. And yes, it is so not fair, but that's how it works. They were tasked with doing the impossible, which is making a very incredibly hard decision. And now you've got me here defending Alabama. And the thing that pisses me off, Gary, is that when people don't like this decision and you don't like what you have to say about it, it becomes some conspiracy theory here at the network. We're all pro SEC. We're all being told to carry the water for the SEC. Total horseshit. I hate Alabama. I hate them. I feel like my team shouldn't have been protected. But you want to know something? This is poetic justice. Because do you know who stood in the way of CFP expansion happening this year? The ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips, the same one that is now saying these things are unfathomable, him. He didn't want expansion to happen this year because he said they needed more time. And his team would have benefited from expansion this year. This is what expansion is going to do. It's not watering down the game. It's not just a money grab. It's going to protect teams like Georgia and FSU from situations like this. But at the end of the day, the committee did the right thing. And I am so sorry, Florida State, if that pisses you off.
Hey, L, never happened before. And guess what? Never going to happen again because that playoff team is expanding threefold. All right, we're getting 12 of them next year. And the most important sentence in the clause and the disclosures in the way that they constructed that tournament, that Final Four, that CFP, was any major adjustment to personnel on the team that would affect the standing of that team. And I would say having a Heisman Trophy caliber quarterback be done for the season checks every single one of those boxes.
cry about it in Tallahassee.
Yeah. Cry me a river. I'm sorry. I know it sucks. It's not fair. It might not be right or any of those things, but like it had to be done. It had to be done. And I don't think anybody in the nation that isn't a Seminole fan is upset about these matchups that we've got on New Year's Day. All right. We're like how many minutes into this podcast on Christmas and we haven't even done anything to represent the season. And maybe we never would have. But then Draymond Green gave us the perfect opportunity to dust off these pipes again and get creative this holiday season. So, of course, this Christmas album is going to have a little bit of a Draymond theme because the dude likes to scrap. Are we ready?
Pop. Yep, I'm ready.
I'm going to sing it too.
Yes.
Oh, come all ye fighters, angry and disruptful. Oh, come all ye fighters to Golden State.
Well, I can't sing mine because you had a record deal and I didn't. So y'all will know these holiday hits. Deck your balls with fa-la-la-la-la-la, kick your dick.
Okay.
I think we're going to have to bleep that out.
I have a remix of that one.
Oh,
okay. Deck the halls with boughs of fury. Fa la 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 la. Spicy like a Thai red curry. Fa la 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 la. Hey.
I love curry. That's good. That's good. My personal favorite Christmas song comes by way of NSYNC. With a Draymond remix.
Okay.
And this is just the title of the song. I'm not going to sing you a hook, but Merry Christmas, Happy Holla Dre.
Oh, okay.
You know what
happy
I'm saying?
Happy Holla Dre.
Happy Holla Dre. Happy Holla Dre.
There you go.
That's the one. That's the one.
Yeah.
NSYNC. What's your side note? What is your favorite Christmas song?
Favorite Christmas song is maybe Last Christmas. Or This Christmas by Donny Hathaway, because I'm basic. You?
It's either Last Christmas or This Christmas. Merry Christmas by NSYNC. Close second, Mistletoe by Justin Bieber.
Okay.
Oh, segue, Draymond Green, Missile Elbow.
Oh, okay. How about this? On the 12 day suspended, my true love gave to me free therapy.
That's really good. Because I hear therapy is expensive.
It is.
$3.99. Damn. That's a good price, L.
I'm telling you.
All right. Hold on. Let me see. Feliz Navidad.
Okay. Feliz Navidad.
Just straight to the point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then
just
the
straight to
over.
The point with Draymond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Nurkic the red nose center.
Oh, that's good.
Had a very shiny nose. That's after poor old Draymond decided to throw some bows.
Like a fighter. Like McGregor. I don't know any other UFC fighters. Actually, yes, I do, but none that rhyme with that jingle. Okay. Grandma got ran over, and Draymond was behind the wheel.
All right. That doesn't even rhyme.
It doesn't even rhyme, Elle. You're the musically gifted one, okay?
You have to sing the beginning and then just, you know, Grandma got ran over.
Okay, what about this? What about this? What about this?
Uh-huh.
All I want for Christmas is to knock out your two front teeth.
Oh, that's good. Your two front teeth. Yeah, okay, your two.
Yeah,
well done. Okay. Silent fight, lost my shit. Why? All was calm, all was fine. In your version, you didn't try, but we saw the tapes. You're a goddamn lie.
Yo, you wrote whole verses,
correct?
Fool. I just reimagined song titles.
Yeah. So is this the first time that we're acknowledging that I go the extra mile and you don't?
Well, Elle, I just know my strengths and I know my weaknesses. I'm a headline writer. Okay. You are a story. I'm a headline writer.
Mm-hmm.
You're a story. You're a body writer.
Okay.
I'm a headline writer.
Gotcha. So you name the song. I write the chorus and the verse.
Boom.
And the thing is, we would still get the same amount of writing credit, and that sucks.
And let this serve as a reminder to all record execs that might be listening that, yes, Elle Duncan had a record deal in a former life,
yeah,
but she has not yet closed the door on signing another. She is available. She is ready. She is willing. Just don't ask her to dance.
Right. Don't. And also,
she will run out of breath.
She's not doing any of those things because she is currently writing songs with someone who said, fa la la, kick your dick. So no, I don't think that I'm anywhere near.
Still,
by the way, I'm so mad.
Shocked they didn't bleep that out.
I kept singing that after that for like,
fa la la la. I mean, it's got a nice ring to it.
Sure. It does. It's beautiful. you know what has a nice ring to it too? Being what? Right. I love being right. Unfortunately, I'm wrong a lot. And, but I was really right about one thing. Sadly, I hated being right about this. Oh, okay.
What's that?
Well, when I knew, when I looked into my crystal ball, when I missed Cleo this and I knew that one mother superstar caping for my team was going to cost us everything.
Oh, you're done.
No, I joked. I'm like 38 hot. I joked last week on taking the L on SportsCenter that like, oh, okay, my Braves suck, but at least like I got my Georgia Bulldogs and we haven't lost in 2 years and we're streaking for another national championship. And I joked because I showed a picture of Drake wearing a damn Georgia polo. Like, oh no, we're I literally said that. And we came back in here because I just got the alert that Brock Bowers, baby Gronk, the best tight end in sports, or at least in college football.
Best weapon.
Our only weapon.
Best weapon.
Hurt his ankle against Vanderbilt and is out for the season because he has to have ankle surgery.
That sucks.
I'm like, listen, I love Drake. I love him as an artist. I have said time and time again that if I had to pick one person and I'm on a deserted island, I choose his discography because it's just so vast. But with all due respect to Drake, leave us the alone. Why do you keep doing this to us sports teams and to our fan bases? Drake, stop it.
Drake, you got to start shopping at The Gap, dude. Nothing with a logo. Nothing
Please.
With a mascot. Nothing with words, bro. Banana
Just wear
Republic.
White tees.
Kirkland signature, bro. They sell them in a six-pack, dude. Like, please stop
please.
This.
Please, Drake. We didn't do anything to you. I don't even know why you had that polo.
Lululemon, bro.
Why?
Something. Logo-less, bro.
Stop
it's tagless.
Breaking us. So there it is. I accurately predicted that Drake was going to curse Georgia, and what happens? They go to the SEC championship. They lose to Alabama again. Their first loss in 2 years. They're out of the CFP. They don't get a chance to repeat or to three-peat, and it's all over, and Drake did it. You, Gary, were right about something completely different, and because you were right about this one particular thing, you don't have people still in your mentions every day telling you to shut the up and instead of kick it, eat one.
Jesus.
Yeah, you should see my mentions.
I don't think I want to, but I would actually think that'd be quite funny.
Just run the tape. Just run the tape that Gary was right about. This is not real. And let me tell you how I know it's not real. It's a rumor that appeared out of nowhere.
Well,
it did. It appeared out of nowhere. It's not like we saw a picture. It's not like there was even people saw them eating. This is literally one of those rumors that just out of nowhere, you just started seeing on your algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
Is Travis Kelce dating Taylor Swift? Total fabricated, made up bullshit.
Oh, you say that, but I think that there are context clues that have presented themselves over the past couple of weeks that lend themselves to a touch of credence.
What?
A couple of anonymous friends saying My that point. The two have hung out.
Who?
That texts have been exchanged. Okay. Breaking news as of today. Travis Kelce was on the Pat McAfee show. And at least we know this. At the very least, he has her number and he has sent tweets talking about, hey, I've seen you rock the stage at Arrowhead.
Let's listen to this sound from Pat McAfee.
Maybe I've seen you rock the stage in Arrowhead. You might have to come see me rock the stage in Arrowhead.
Confirmed.
He's not kiss and tell.
He just confirmed exactly what I said. He doesn't know that woman. That's like Joel Embiid saying he was dating Rihanna because he used to tweet at her. That's not true. It's not real. That's not a real thing. He just confirmed it in your face. Him and his brother, they're all in on it. We've reached the part of the NFL season, folks, where these rumors are coming up.
I just like the sentence constructed as he doesn't know that woman.
He doesn't
as if
know
it's just
her.
Two pedestrians.
He doesn't know her. Yeah, but they're not. And let me tell you why. Because in our world, yes. You know, we're just regular laymen. We're just regs. Uh-huh. Okay. In the celebrity world, in sure. the Hollywood world, they couldn't be farther apart. Travis
whoa,
Kelce.
Whoa.
Listen.
Okay, my bad.
Travis Kelce is an A-lister in the sports world.
Thank you.
True or false?
True.
Right.
True.
Okay?
Yeah.
True or false?
True.
True.
I said it. I'll say it again.
Taylor Swift is an A-lister in the world.
It is her moment.
She is the biggest name in the world.
Correct.
Taylor Swift is not kicking it at Chiefs Kingdom hanging out with Travis Kelce. I don't believe it.
See, and I do.
I don't believe it.
I do. I think...
And the reason it's catching so much fire is because it is so nonsensical.
I don't think
if
it's nonsensical at all.
If you had heard a rumor that Tom Brady and Taylor Swift were even dating, you might go, okay, like, well, I could see that. And that it's Travis Kelce specifically.
I don't think it's nonsensical at all.
It's 100% false.
They're both A-listers and having their moment at the top of their games currently. And I'm going to be honest with you. You're saying that there's no shot that this happens
no.
and that, you know, it's part of Taylor Swift's makeup to go through breakups? There's a real life, living, breathing example of the pot of gold on the end of that rainbow.
What are you talking about?
Adele and Rich Paul.
Okay.
Come on.
It's fair.
Come on. When's the last time Adele came out with a banger? She hasn't ever since she found herself in a nice relationship. Matter of fact, she's had to be like, yo, I got to just play the hits. I need to sign a residency.
Yeah. Well, because she's not sad girl anymore. And sad girl music.
Maybe Taylor Swift doesn't want to be a sad girl anymore. Maybe she wants to be a happy girl and tickle Travis Kelce's little mustache and okay. say, oh my gosh, I should have dated a man with some facial hair in my past.
Is that?
That tickles.
That's what you think of when you think of Travis Kelce? Facial
I mean,
hair?
How do you not? It's just a mustache. It doesn't look right.
But listen, we need somebody on this show that has to have a sense of trepidation, that has to question everything. Because mm-hmm. you know me, I'm going to dive head first into every story. If it's on the internet, I'll likely
yeah,
believe
you're gullible.
It.
You're gullible.
But I need Mother Hen, L. Duncan, to say, hey, Gary, let's assess all you're facts wrong. And figures.
Yeah. Yeah.
We did. I was still adamant about my position. You took a bit more cautious approach. And listen, that's fine. Sometimes I'm going to be right. Sometimes you're going to be right. I'm glad that the Swifties aren't in my mention. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're big mad at me. I love Taylor Swift, though, and I love them as a couple. I will say this, though, to the Swifties that are still in my mentions. You can't really react in real time, though, to something that was posted 3.5 months ago. Like,
yeah,
they're reacting
man.
To it in real time. Like, I posted it, but they don't react to the video where I said, oh, I was wrong. I believe them. They don't react to that one. They just
like,
keep reacting.
Go to work, guys. Go to work, y'all.
Yeah,
go
you
do something.
Stop. Yeah, can you go? I just noticed, by the way, great use of the word trepidation. It
Thank
reminds
you.
Me of
Thank you.
A segment that many people are dubbing a fan favorite. Our friend Mina Kimes said this is the funniest thing that we have done on the show, which is a little worrisome because it was like from the very first show. So that doesn't feel great in some regards, but I love this because this is where we learned that Gary has a lot in common with a character from a movie that I grew up watching, as if. I also think these are the same people peddling the same garbage that Odell Beckham Jr. is dating Kim Kardashian. I don't believe any of this.
You don't have any credence
this
in that either?
This is the same.
Come on.
This is literally, why do you keep saying credence? Where did you... Did you learn a
big
new
CCR
word
fan.
This week?
Big CCR fan. I'm gonna say Clearwater once we get to that point.
I'm fascinated. You've literally snuck in the word...
Three times.
I haven't heard
three
anybody
times.
Say credence in years, and then you snuck it in three times
three
in a
times.
Three-minute conversation.
I'm one of those guys that kind of latches on to a word that I'm like, this is a fun new word that's going to make me sound smart, and I just abuse the hell out of it for the next 2 weeks on every platform that I'm on, whether it's this, SportsCenter, Snapchat, or SportsCenter AM, and then I just retire it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like when Cher used to teach Ty the word of the day in the movie Clueless.
Yes.
She didn't think that she was that smart, so she'd be like, use it in a sentence.
Exactly. Thank you. And then it gave her some credence.
Okay.
And then And then it gave her some credence. And that conversation, you know, kind of blossomed from there. So thank you. Thank you for hammering home the point, Elle.
Gary, are you still learning words, Gary? Update the people before we go.
I am. Yep, I am. I think that based off of your compliment of my use of trepidation, I can now confidently use that going forward. Okay, credence is in the holster, ready to fire out at a moment's notice. All right, credence, boom, the top of it. Listen, L, every day is an adventure with me. I'm learning new words. I'm putting them into use. It's crazy.
I love that.
I'm like
that
a full adult, 36. Yep, that's right.
So then you would say then you're a logophile.
Yeah, I would say that. Or would I say it, L? Would I would say it.
Should I say it?
Or would I?
What? It's a person who loves words, Gary.
Of course then. Of course I am. I was asking you the question. Yeah. I was making sure that you knew the proper context of
the word, Gary.
A logophile. So.
Yeah. So I love that for you.
Thank you, Elle.
Well, I hope you have a wonderful holiday in the woods. I hope you're spending it with your loved ones.
That's right.
And as I said on the last show, I hope nothing more than for a fantastic Monday Night Football game that's everything that it promised to be.
It's going to be.
And if not, I kept receipts.
Damn it, Elle. How could you do that to me on this day of giving? And now you're just taking away from me. I'll see you Thursday.
Bye.
Later.